It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? It's a wonderful day to study the Word of God. We're in the book of John, John chapter 11, and we're going to begin reading with verse 47, and we'll read to the end of the chapter. John chapter 11, verse 47. And please that you turn to that scripture verse that you may follow along with me as we're studying the Word today. While you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. Now, I hope that was enough time for you to open your Bibles to John chapter 11, and we're going to begin reading with verse 47. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, "What do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation." And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that year, said unto them, "Ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation should perish." And thus spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for the nation. And not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Then from that day forth they took counsel together for to put him to death. Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence unto a country near to the wilderness, even to the city of Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. The Jews' Passover was nigh at hand, and many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then sought they for Jesus, and spake among themselves as they stood in the temple, "What think ye, that he will not come to the feast?" Now both of the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment that if any man knew where he were, he should show it, that they might take him. Let's begin with prayer after the reading of the Word today. It's wonderful to come unto the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank and praise you that we can come and spend this time together. I ask now that you'll have every ear that is listening today, every heart be open, that all will know you as their Savior, and all will enjoy this time of study today, that we may come to know you and grow in you and be stronger each and every day. And it comes from your strength, Lord, not from our own. Please now that you will feed us and lead us in your Word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Privilege to come and to study the Word of God, and we know as we look to these words and enjoy them that we have gotten ourselves over to verse 53, but I did want to read just a little bit because 53 is kind of the end, and I'll read it for you. Then from that day forth they took counsel together for to put him to death. We have a group here back in 46. Some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them that what Jesus had done. And then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, "What do we?" And that's what led to that. And again, they never questioned the miracles, because you know, according to verse 47, "For this man doeth many miracles," the scripture tells us. And so there was not a question of what had taken place. They just tried to figure out what to do. How can we close it? How can we hush it up so nobody will know? And isn't it so sad that instead of praising God and praising the Lord Jesus and recognizing that He was God and He can be my Savior if I'll just come by faith to Him, and I believe today that He is going to be my Savior and come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and save me. If they would believe those by faith, come to Jesus Christ. But instead of those things, why, they just sought out to capture and to kill and to put the Lord Jesus to death. And we have a statement here from Caiaphas that I want to refresh your mind, that we have passed several days here, and I want you to acknowledge and think about what's being said here. Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said to them, "Ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us." Now listen to the words that this man, this wicked man, he's actually an ungodly man. He is not he's a religious man, but he is not one that normally has proclaimed the truth. But all of a sudden, his mouth seems to open. But you know, God even uses animals many times to speak, to get his word and what he has to say and to do out. He'll use anybody. If he can use an animal, he can surely use me. He can surely use you as well. Well, he could even use this high priest, the one that was corrupt, to proclaim the truth to these people one more time, that they would hear the truth. And again, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people. Isn't that something that he proclaimed that so clearly? And that the whole nation should perish not. He saw the value of the death of this one man. This he spake not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die. That Jesus should die. So even this religious ruler, this religious leader, this high priest, even though he was a wicked, ungodly man, he still spoke the truth. He was with all the rest of this bunch trying to figure out what to do with Jesus and how to hide Lazarus and what to do. And yet, he proclaimed this truth. But being a high priest that year, and you think, well, a high priest, he's got to be, you know, just like, he's my minister, he's my preacher, he's my reverend, he's not going to lie to me. Well, so often today, they were lied to in school when they went to seminary, and they were lied to in the books that they were given, and they believed those books instead of believing the book, the Word of God. And so, yes, they're proclaiming lies. Many of them, they were fed and were deceived themselves. But we have to be responsible for what we teach. And when I teach something, I know it to be the truth and the Word of God, or I do not teach it. And I wish that our preachers and those that call themselves reverend, which I refuse to be called reverend, I want to be called either by name or pastor, but not reverend. I reverence the Lord Jesus Christ. I reverence God. I don't want that held to myself. Now please, that we look to the Word of God here and we see that this Caiaphas made such a beautiful statement. And it's too bad that he wasn't always continuing to follow after the truth. But being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for the nation. And not for the nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Now, here's where we ended. We ended with that verse last time. Then from that day forth, they took counsel together for to put him to death. Instead of receiving Jesus Christ and realizing that that means life for them, instead of that, they desired that they put him to death. They did not want him in their midst anymore. Now, why is that? Why do we not proclaim the truth, the simple truth, the Word of God in our pulpits anymore? It's because we don't like the light. That light shines so brightly. We don't like the light. And so we try to hide in the darkness. And every time we open the Word and we proclaim the Word, that light shines right into our heart and penetrates our heart and shows us how filthy and dirty we are. It shows us how much I need Jesus. I so desperately fail Him. The old flesh wins so often. But I know I have a Savior. His name is Jesus. And He has died on the cross of Calvary, taken every sin of mine away. And as God looks down from the heavens, He does not see this old filthy flesh of mine. He sees the blood of Jesus Christ because I have come by faith to Him and trusted in Him. You need to do the same. And we need to get our pulpits today proclaiming that sweet message. And that alone, that Jesus Christ died. Oh, I teach the Word of God. We teach from cover to cover. We work in so many different areas, teaching so many different areas of the Word of God. But every verse of Scripture tells us about Jesus and Jesus' death and Jesus' crucifixion, His death, His burial, and His resurrection. And as you proclaim the truth, you bring out every time Jesus Christ. And again, Him alone, not works, not anything else, but just Jesus Christ. This because of the light of the Lord Jesus. And the evidence was so strong, here stood this man Lazarus. Then from that day forth they took counsel together for to put him to death. Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence into a country near to the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. The prophecy that this man uttered was so clear and so true, and yet he himself did not recognize what he was saying nor believed it. He joined right in with the rest of them. What beautiful words we have that he had needed to die. One man. By one man sin came into this world, and by one man it can be taken out, and that man is Jesus Christ. As we look at the city now, the place where the town, the little place where he kind of hid himself, near to the wilderness, and so we're not sure. We know it was kind of a remote area, and he went away for a period, not very long, and we're not sure where that place is at. We just know it's in the country, and it's probably a very secluded area, I would say. And then the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand, verse 55. The Jews' Passover was nigh at hand, and many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then sought they for Jesus, and spake among themselves as they stood in the temple, "What think ye, that he will not come to the feast?" Jesus fulfilled the law, every part of the law, something we can't do, but Jesus could. And that made him our perfect sacrifice, that he could die on the cross because he fulfilled all of the law. These people here were looking for him. They sought they for Jesus. They spake among themselves. Here they were coming to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And as they would come prior to the Passover, and they would come together and supposedly fellowship amongst themselves as all the Jews, any man that was a good Jew, that was fulfilling the law, was doing what was right, would be in Jerusalem for the Passover, because it was one of the required feasts to be in Jerusalem to celebrate. And as that Passover lamb was to be offered, and we know that Passover lamb is going to be the Lord Jesus, because he is our perfect lamb and our perfect sacrifice. Let's go back just a few minutes back, as we find that we received in the book of Exodus the establishment of the family. We have in Genesis, we go into Exodus, then we have Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and then we come to Joshua. And Joshua, they are entering into the promised land. We have many things take place during this time. We have from the end of Genesis the establishment of the mighty nation of Israel, or of the people, the 12 tribes. There are 12 sons of Jacob. And the reason they are called the nation of Israel is because Jacob's name was changed to Israel. And so it is the nation of Israel. It is the sons of Jacob, the sons of Israel. And there were 12 sons. And as they left the promised land and went down into Egypt, because their brother Joseph was there, they went down into Egypt. And when they got into Egypt, then they were there for some 400 plus years. And during that time, they were in a time of good place, good position the first few years. But the last many years, they found themselves to be in nothing but slavery and bondage. God heard their cry, and he raised up a man, and that man's name was Moses. And Moses, by the hand of God, delivered them out of Egypt, brought them across the Red Sea, watched God's hand not only hand out the plagues in Egypt, but divide the Red Sea so they could walk across on dry land, and then the waters poured back on and killed Pharaoh and his army, even to the point that the water was so great that the horses and the chariots and the men washed up onto the seashore at that time, and they witnessed the death of what was life and victory for them crossing through the sea, the hand of God delivering them, saving them. meant death to Pharaoh because they refused to accept and to believe God. We find them moving and coming over to the Mount Sinai. There we find the hand of God giving Moses and then Moses to the people, the plans to the tabernacle and the Ten Commandments. You'll find as you look through and read through Leviticus and Deuteronomy, all that was given unto Moses, and Moses handed it unto the nation of Israel. They were disobedient, spent 40 years in the wilderness, and after that 40 years then we find the death of Moses, Joshua taking over by the command and the hand of God and delivering them into the land of Canaan across the Jordan River, again on dry land as before crossing the Red Sea. All this has taken place, and I left out many things, but all this was taken place from the end of Genesis to the beginning of Joshua. As we look through all these things, parts that they received, things that they received were these feasts. One of those feasts was the Passover. And it was something they celebrated, but it was something that they did not receive at Mount Sinai. It's something that they received leaving Egypt. As the last plague, the plague of the death angel would come and the death of the firstborn in that household, also of the livestock, not only of man, but also of the livestock, the firstborn, was going to have to die because of the disobedience of Pharaoh. God will deliver his people. And he put a plague upon those people, and the death angel would come. But he gave everyone an opportunity. He told the nation of Israel how and what to do. And that was to kill a lamb, and to take in a certain way to prepare it, a certain way to eat it. They were to stand fully clothed, ready to go. They also were to take the blood of that lamb and put it across the lintel on the doorposts, and whenever the death angel would come that night, when he saw the blood, he would pass over. Now you see, that's the same victory that we have in Jesus Christ, because sin no longer has any power or strength upon a believer in Jesus Christ, because he sees the blood. God sees the blood, his blood, the Son, his Son's blood, Jesus Christ, if you come by faith and trust in him. You see what I mean by looking at the beautiful pictures through the Word of God, and we always see Jesus? Well, even all the way back, as they received the command to kill the lamb, the sacrificial lamb, because that was the first Passover. And you see what took place? The death angel passed over. That's what that means. Now they celebrate this Passover year after year after year as a feast. They had the Feast of the First Fruits, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. There were many things that did, and the Passover was something that took place every year. And at the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, the Feast of the Passover, they were to be there, to be in Jerusalem. To remember what had happened when they had been given the power and the strength to leave the land of Egypt by the hand of God. And it was still, at that time, the very picture of Jesus Christ dying on the cross, being our sacrificial lamb, and us being saved by the lamb and by his blood. When I see the blood, I will pass over. And you see, what wonderful words we have. Have you studied the Old Testament? Are you familiar with Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and into Joshua? Did you realize that's what takes place through that time? From the end of Genesis to the beginning of Joshua? The beautiful plans of the tabernacle, which is also a very beautiful picture of Jesus Christ. But this Passover, they were in, and it's just right that Jesus will be in Jerusalem, and he will be our Passover lamb. He will die, and he will take the place. And after this time, the Passover should have come to an end. All feasts should have ended because the Passover lamb, the real lamb, had finally come. No longer did they need to offer this lamb and bring these offerings and sacrifices, because not by the blood of bulls and goats, but by his own blood, he entered once. You can find that in the book of Hebrews. Study the book of Leviticus and the book of Hebrews together, and you'll love them. What a beautiful book that the Lord has given us to study and to know his way and will. They were to come to the Passover. Yes, Jesus would be there. He had to be there. He fulfilled the law. I needed to tell you just a little bit about the Passover, if it's been some time since you have studied it. And again, that was so quickly, as we talked about. And then as soon as they were done eating, and the evening had passed, then they were called out, and they left Egypt. That was the final night to be in Egypt. Multitudes died because they didn't believe in the blood. Is that where you're at today? You refuse to believe and trust in the blood of the Lord Jesus. We know that Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, verse 54, but went thence into the country near to the wilderness, into the city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. The Jews' Passover was nigh at hand, and many went out of their country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Again, this was tradition. This is what they went to do, to prepare themselves for the Passover. Then sought they for Jesus, and spake among themselves as they stood in the temple, "What think ye, that he will not come to the feast?" Oh, he had to. If they knew him, he'd know, they would know he would have to be there. Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment that if any man went and knew where he were, he should show it, that they might take him. Oh, as he went up into Ephraim for a period of time, but yes, he will be, and he'll come into Jerusalem. And this will be his final entry, his time coming into Jerusalem. It's not long as we find this feast taking place, the feast of the Passover. And he is our Passover lamb. It's such a beautiful day to have the Word of God, that we may know and study the Word of God, understand the Word of God. Please that you continue to study it with me, because he is our offering and our sacrifice. Please come by faith to the Lord Jesus. They would not believe. They chose not to trust and believe in Jesus Christ. Verse 1 of chapter 12 now. As we begin to read, "Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" Now we're going to stop with verse 5 there. And as we look at these verses of Scripture now, in the 12th chapter, Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany. Oh, there was quite an uproar in Jerusalem for people looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus unto the city. Would he be there? Would he not be there? They were desiring to, because there was a command put out that if anyone should see him, that they should be told, that they could go after him. And again, in verse 53 of the 11th chapter, "Then from that day forth they took counsel together for to put him to death." That was a desire of all the religious leaders and rulers of the day, to put him to death. That's what they desired to do. Now, 6 days before this Passover, he came to Bethany. Now, Bethany again is where Lazarus, which was dead, and he raised from the dead. All of a sudden, that family was put back together again, wasn't it? Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. Then there There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with this odor. Oh, it's wonderful to read those verses of Scripture a couple of times to let it kind of soak in. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ is the resurrection and life. We have that back in John chapter 11, verse 25. I am the resurrection and the life. And then in John chapter 11, verse 26, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Oh, that you come to the Lord Jesus and trust in him, and we have a witness that Jesus, yes, can give victory over death. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He will raise himself from the dead. Oh, it's wonderful to be a believer in Jesus Christ and walk after him. But we know, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Have you come by faith to Jesus Christ? We have a picture here. Lazarus was raised from the dead. That's what comes when you trust in Jesus Christ. You're raised from the dead. You know, we don't think of ourselves being dead, but we are. We're spiritually dead. And we need to be made alive. We need to be made new. And that can come through and by Jesus Christ. Please that you come by faith to Jesus and trust in him. And we had this beautiful picture here in this family. And I want you to see what we have in this family in Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. First of all, we have Lazarus. He's been raised from the dead. That's what has to come to your life first of all. Today, we have went into service and to work and all these things, and we have missed the most important, and that is coming by faith to Jesus Christ for salvation. We must do that. We must trust in Jesus Christ our Lord and trust in him alone for our salvation, that we can be made alive. Lazarus was given this picture through this man Lazarus. He was a believer in Jesus. He was a friend of Jesus. He fellowshipped with the Lord and he died, but Jesus raised him from the dead to show us that he can raise the dead. So will you come by faith to Jesus Christ today and be raised from the dead? We have the second is Mary. What do we find Mary doing here? Mary had a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, in verse 3, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the whole house smelled beautiful. You know, it's wonderful. It's wonderful to sit and to listen and to give our best unto the Lord. Give something that's most valuable. And he has given this, Mary has given this unto the Lord Jesus. And she desired to just sit and to listen. Isn't it wonderful that she was willing? You know, Martha, each time that we find these two together, Mary is the one that is at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And yes, you could call this a type of service, but to anoint his feet with something so precious, and we know according to the Word of God here in verse 5 that it's worth 300 pence, which is about a whole year's salary. And she was willing just to give this up to the Lord Jesus. So you see, she gave her all unto him. And she desired to listen and to grow in wisdom and knowledge. We have Martha here. She's preparing a meal. She served. And we know according to the second verse, and there they made him a supper. Martha served. We have Lazarus present. He shows us of the resurrection, life in your heart. Then we have Mary listening and growing, as so many times through the Word we have her in that place. And Martha, she's always serving. That should be a Christian's life. That should be a Christian's life. Saved first. Now many have the service and sit and listen, but they miss the first. And we must never miss the first. Come to Jesus Christ by faith. Never miss that. We got this in this family. We'll talk about this next time we come together. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?